When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Yo, this ain't Parents After Lunch. No, this is Parenting with the Punch. Oh, this ain't Parents After Lunch. No, this is Parenting with the Punch. Class is in session. Please be seated. Behaviors that get attention get repeated. Avoid the power struggle because it will get you heated. Listen to Amanda because she knows how to teach it. Yo, this ain't Parents After Lunch. No, this is Parenting with the Punch. Oh, this ain't Parents After Lunch. No, this is Parenting with the Punch.
Hello and welcome to the podcast show, Parenting with a Punch. I have an amazing guest here, Tara, I don't want to butcher your last name. How do you pronounce your last name?
It's Forey.
Forey. Yep. Okay, great. Tara Forey with Riverside Educational Consulting. How's it going?
It's good. It's actually Tara Forey from River Educational Consulting.
Oh. Sorry.
It's okay. No, it's okay. So my husband is Lebanese. And so the K and the F together is a very uncomfortable consonant pronunciation.
Yes.
So I get it all the time. That's what I know telemarketers are calling my house. Who know me. So I run River Educational Consulting, which is a specialized consulting firm that goes into schools and community centers, sporting associations, and first responder units to address non-suicidal self-injury, self-harm, suicide, addiction, anxiety, trauma, and other aspects of everyday living.
Awesome. So amazing. And so you are local to the Boston area as well.
Right. Yep. Our hub is at West Roxbury, is in West Roxbury, but we travel all over. For example, tomorrow I'll be in Connecticut for the afternoon in Bethlehem, Connecticut, at another facility to help them understand adverse childhood experiences.
Now, are you familiar with ACE? I think it's the ACE.
Yeah.
Okay.
So ACE actually stands for Adverse Childhood Experiences, mm-hmm. which can stem from either small to what we consider a smaller event of trauma to a larger event of trauma, mm-hmm. also anxiety, the development of anxiety, and right. any kind of cognitive concern.
Awesome. I the work that you're putting out into this world, especially with the trauma and just, you know, suicide, for our older kids, which I'm sure you've probably seen it even in some of our younger ones, but it's so, so huge. And I mean, this work is so important. And, you know, I'd love to hear are you noticing, like, with social media, have you noticed like an increase, or just with children, just experiencing more anxiety or?
Well, I think that's a very loaded question in and of itself. it's a very good question. But we have to realize that too. It is, media does have an impact. Our expectations as parents have an impact. Mm-hmm. Our parenting skills are completely altered from, you know, not completely, but pretty significantly differing from our generations before us. Mm-hmm. There is no real ability to stay home. One parent to stay home, both parents usually work. Right. It is more frequent that now we have all different kinds of family setups. So two parents may work. There might be a single parent household here and a single parent household there. Mm-hmm. There may be only one parent. And that also puts undue stress on the adolescent before we even realize that it's happening. So children tend to, at a younger and younger age, tend to take on that stress that we give. We give them anxiety as parents as well. So I don't want to just say media is the only thing. I think media has a big effect. I mean, we joke around in the mental health profession and the education profession, we joke around about the Kardashian effect. Mm. And that is just, everybody has to look like this individual family. So they feel undue stress as they have a little bit too much weight on them, or a little too little weight on them, or not enough curves, or all that. And I think that does affect children as early as six, because they are watching television, they are watching the commercials, they are watching the celebrities, they see their mom or dad standing in the mirror saying, oh, and patting their belly, or, you know, saying, I need to do more, or I'm not who I'm supposed to be at this age in my life. So it all of this feeds into how we are creating children's mind. And it's so much of our subconscious thought,
right,
and our subconscious doings every day that our children are intrinsically taking in and then repeating.
Oh, that is, I mean, you hit it. I mean, it's so true. And I wonder if, I mean, you work of course with kids and you do a lot of like parent education. So, I mean, do you discuss some of this, like with parents about sort of helping them to kind of own and sort of like work on their, you know, own subconscious patterns or other things, like, so they, you know, because it all meshes together. I mean, when you're working with the child, you have to help the parent, like, but do you find that, do you find yourself doing that with some clients?
It is actually a necessary part of River Educational Consulting,
okay,
is to work with the family as a whole. So we don't just address the child or address the concerns that this family might have. We address the entire family dynamic, and each person has homework, has work to be done.
Right.
And that is exactly what is actually being said when you're trying to communicate to each other. Mm-hmm. What is not being said, and how do we hold ourselves? A lot of our children's anxiety, for example, when we had originally spoken about anxiety, a lot of our children's anxiety is based on our behaviors towards that child's anxiety. If we don't value or communicate that we understand their anxiety, we value what they're going through, but we're not limiting them. We're not taking them away from that anxiety. We're actually helping them learn to survive through that they will survive that. And our body language says, I have confidence that you will make it out of this, you know, anxious situation.
Right.
And proper. I think, so when we work with families, we definitely, you know, role play, or we'll have conversations about the full spectrum of emotion that we show when we're dealing with anxiety, the communication sentences, the behavior, and how to not feed into that anxiety.
Right. No, absolutely. Now, would you agree too that, I mean, so behavior, anytime a child is exhibiting some form of behavior, you know, and I work with from early childhood to older, I'm trying to niche back down to the early childhood, but any form of anxiety, any child that's exhibiting behavior is some form of anxiety. So they're going through this process of like trying to figure out, their emotions or whatever that situation would be. Would you agree with that?
Right. Children don't have the emotional regulation that adults have, but even adults who have experienced trauma as a child still don't have that emotional regulation. They may lash out easier. They may have low patience level, low wait time. Mm-hmm. And that is all examples of not being nourished in how to deal with emotions at a younger age. So children do exhibit different kinds of behavior. It can be shutting down. It can be depression. It can be, you know, overly nervous and having
fidgety,
picking at their fingers or fidgety or all that. And then there's other ones that just lash out in anger, because anger is a safe emotion. It sounds very strange to say, but anger is your very first emotion that your brain goes to. It's safe. It's a defense mechanism.
Yes.
So yes, behavior can be exhibited in a whole bunch of ways. The sad part is parents, because we are so busy and everybody has to be in sports and everybody has a play date and, you know, we don't take the time to say, whoa, what's going on in that behavior?
Right.
What are you trying to tell me? Mm-hmm. Kids also don't have that filter that say, Mom, I need your help because.
This is exactly.
Right. Yep. If you practice those sentences with the children, or if you sit down and you freeze, you literally just relax and say, let's go through the emotions. What are we feeling?
Right.
And then help your child. The anxiety will start to be overcome mm-hmm. you know, and it's not even just a slow road. It actually is a pretty fast road once you get communication going.
No, I agree. I think the communication is a huge piece. And I just was actually a guest on a podcast last evening, and we talked about, you know, a lot of the work is really giving parents like verbatim language to use, you know, in that communication and how they're communicating. And that alone can make a huge difference.
Mm-hmm. Nobody has ever taught us religion. Nobody's ever taught us relationships, like what we call the religion of relationships.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know everything about math. You've been taught step by step how to do it. You've been taught the history and step by step of dates, but nobody's ever really taught us as we're growing up about relationships. So we call it the religion of relationships, meaning like what are the key components of a relationship or building a relationship,
right?
And where does communication and emotional regulation fit in?
Right.
So it's understandable that we all struggle and that we would need to provide sentences that will work.
Right.
You know, they're research-based, they're evidence-based, they're practiced,
right?
They are successful. So that's what we try to do when we work with families. That's and we give them homework. We do. Right. We make them go home.
Right. Right.
And amazing. If you have practice and you have to come and sit back in a room with me and I say, how was your practice? And they have to be accountable for it. Accountability is a huge thing.
Yeah, no, it is. And you can notice very quickly, you know, because of course, a lot of the work that I do, I'm going into the homes, which I'm pretty sure you do as well. But so you're able to see like in those interactions, you can tell if they've been practicing it or not. Like, you know, just being present, and, you know, hearing from them, obviously, you know, what's worked, what hasn't worked. And just, you know, it, of course, you know, giving that you have that strong relationship, if they're not being honest with you, you're not going to get very far. But yeah, when they put it to practice, it works.
Right. And we require raw emotion, that there is no masking. It's unjudgmental.
Absolutely.
Non-judgmental vocabulary needs to be used. Mm-hmm. And if we don't get honesty, we can't help you on a deeper level.
Right.
And everybody in that room, including myself, has to hear things you may not want to hear and feel things you may not want to feel, but you have to sit in your actual situation in order to overcome adversity, overcome anxiety, overcome that trauma, and then you can start the healing process.
Right. Agreed.
And then, you know, build the confidence within it.
Right. No, absolutely. I mean, you said it perfectly. So I'd like to ask you a few questions for our guests listening. What do you find the most challenging in working with children with anxiety?
It's actually twofold. One, it's as a parent myself, it is incredibly hard to not solve the issue for your child. That is by far one of the hardest. I think the second is also to not validate the actual anxiety that your child is feeling.
Right.
These are two very big challenges that go together most often hand in hand, because you just want it to go away.
Of course.
You want the problem to go away and you want your child to just move on with their day. So what my biggest struggle is exactly that, is a combination of trying not to fix that, but to help my child or help any other child that I work with to fix the current situation by themselves, by them thinking problem solving, by causing them to say, if I do this, I can have this, or I will overcome this. And not solve it, but also not avoid it. If we teach children to avoid, if they're scared of dogs, for example, and we pull them away every single time we see a dog,
then
they're never going to overcome it. It's just going to get worse.
Exactly.
So, yeah. So I think those combined together is the hardest part of anxiety. Anything after that is a learned behavior you can do.
Mm-hmm. Yes. No, this is true. Now this is also a two-part question, but what advice would you give parents who start to witness their child with anxiety or they're questioning, what to look for, or like if it's anxiety that they're experiencing or their child's experiencing?
So the biggest one for, especially for younger children, cause you can identify anxiety very young. And the biggest one is a loss of emotional control. Mm-hmm. So what that means is it's not just a temper tantrum. They can't really put into words how they're feeling. If it's, right before they are going into a family party and you have a pretty large family and they're starting to lose their mind and melt down, that actually anxiety of crowds. So that's something that you want to make note of. And if you are diligent or, almost like an over note taking like I do, I will write it down and say that I've noticed this behavior and then see if there's a pattern to it. It takes a lot of investigation for parents, but once they put it all together, they'll say, oh, I noticed this. I also say, stop Googling everything.
Thank you. I say that all the time. You have no idea. I just said it last night. I'm so sick of it.
because then you're pigeonholing your child and that might not be the pattern that they're fitting into.
Exactly.
It may be a very specific anxiety that they have of crowds. It may be a very specific anxiety that they're just tired or they're hungry or, they're not good with emotion at that point in time. I think that very first thing is investigate whether or not your child is acting under anxiety, or they're just tired, they're hungry, they're frustrated, whatever it is. All of these things can come into how our children behave. I think another thing is don't rush through your child's feeling. Actually ask those questions. Sit down. Who cares if the laundry's not done? Who cares if your dishes are in the sink? Who cares if you have a meeting that's going to start in a few minutes?
Right.
Your first job is a parent. You chose to be a parent. Spend the time with your child to really parent. And I don't mean that as an insulting way. I mean, in raising healthy children, we need to realize that shorter amount of time can affect the longer amount of time long-term. And our children just need to hear that we love them. We support them. We understand them. We're here to listen to them.
Exactly.
And again, be open to the fact that you're not going to hear everything you want to hear.
Right.
And you don't want to hear that you might be, rushing through your day and you're not giving your child enough time.
Right.
You may get frustrated, but that might be the reality for that child. Mm-hmm. Remember, time constraints are different for children than they are for adults.
Right.
So, we forget that as adults. So we definitely forget that. So take the time to listen step by step and then try to see where you can ask questions that help them move towards a solution on their own.
Okay. Yeah.
So, and that's tough because what you really want to do is, solve the problem for them, give them more, yell at them or give them punishment. But a lot of times, if you can lead them towards it, they'll be able to do it on their own and validate that. And that'll become part of a habit and a pattern of behavior for them.
Right. And it becomes healthy. So, and teaching them to own it. So you basically, right. So I was going to ask, you know, what your suggestion would be for the first step. So the first step in, would you say, is starting to investigate?
I think monitor their behavior.
Yeah.
Right. Keep a little bit of a log. It doesn't have to be a long thing. It could be a tiny little spiral notebook that just says, this is what they did. This is how they reacted. Yeah. Things that you say, why are they, you know, being set off in the supermarket for not getting the, you know, 5 apples instead of 4 apples, you know, it's all these just little idiosyncrasies that anxiety starts to come out, and, or they don't even want to be separated from you when you go over to get the bananas and they're over by the cart. So just take note of that, investigate it, keep track of it, and then do that for 2 to 3 weeks and you'll be sure to see a pattern.
Right. Right. What do you suggest to parents? What would you say is your number one parenting rule when it comes to just like teaching children how to take ownership for their actions or for their behavior? And I know it's a loaded question, I think too, but
I was just going to say, it's a very good question. So for me, teaching responsibility, I'm in the throes of it right now with a 12-year-old and a 9-year-old. Mm-hmm. And you know, we have 2 different parenting strategies between my house, between my husband and I. And so trying to find that balance, first off, is before we even do anything, my husband and I have to find a balance. So once we find that balance, then the accountability for children, they need to see that if they study hard, they're going to get a good grade. Mm-hmm. You know, or even not even just a good grade, because we don't want just grades. They're going to learn it and they're going to know it and they're going to be able to tell me about it.
Right.
So they'll be able to tell me the life cycle of a plant or a butterfly or whatever. And that gives them pride to be teaching me something. Mm-hmm. So that's the first thing. The other is accountability needs to be consistent. Yes. You need to be consistent. If you take away a tablet, it has to be taken away and not given back until their room is clean, their floor is done, or their homework is done, or, mm-hmm. You know, and sometimes my husband and I, admittedly, we struggle with that because, you know, we might have stuff to do, or we might have a baseball practice or, you know, softball practice or whatever. And we need to go as a coach. So do we let our child out of cleaning their room so that they can go to this practice? So I think it's consistency, it is regularity, it is discipline. All of those 3 things, by saying you can do this by doing this, and you'll feel this.
Right.
And children need to have a cleaner, more disciplined environment just because their mind gets so cluttered very easily that we need to create that for them.
Yeah, no, agreed. I mean, of course, you know, working together as a team, you know, as team A before team B is of course huge. I work with parents a lot with that, but it's true. And I use the same, I call it like natural consequences. You can't do Y if you don't have X done first, you know what I mean? And that's just life. I mean, children, anything that children have access to is basically privileges, right? So, I mean, it's basically, you know, what it is. So teaching them that, I think, is very important.
And the hardest part for this newer generation and the generations subsequent are, you know, they're faced with the use of so much technology in schools, even to help them better their reading, et cetera.
Yeah.
I find that really taking the time and making them stop and use their creativity, whether it's through art, whether it's through reading, is very essential in teaching them accountability and responsibility as well, because they realize then that they should not be growing up knowing that they have to respond to an email immediately, or they're constantly 32 to 48 hours that they have off from work that they have to respond to that, because then that gives you long-term chronic trauma and illness that we're just looking at workplace trauma. So I think that also is something that I don't think we have thought of yet, but it's starting to appear. And I'm starting to see that in children, especially teenagers that I've seen for a few years now that are molding into having Chromebooks used in school or laptops used at college or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I'm not against that at all. It's just that they should have another outlet that allows them to be creative, that allows them to see the life in a three-dimensional, four-dimensional way that we don't always get on a computer.
Agreed. No, I think that's completely real. I mean, that it's hard for children these days, and actually I'm very much looking forward. We're going to have Tara back on. We're going to do an episode and discuss more about trauma. So I really appreciate you being on the show today and diving into anxiety in children. And I look forward to working together in the future and happy to know that you're local.
Yes. And if you ever need me, just go to River Educational Consulting and you'll find us on Google and Facebook and all that. So
awesome. Excellent.
Thank you for tuning in to Parenting with a Punch show. I am your host, Amanda Houle. As always, keep asking for more. Don't forget to visit my website, parentingwithapunch.com, to learn all the ways that you can work with me. Join our parenting tribe and visit Tara's website if you are locally in the Boston area as well. Take care.
Yo, this ain't Parents at to Lunch. No. This is Parenting with the Punch. Oh, this ain't Parents Out to Lunch. No, this is Parenting with the Punch. Class is in session. Please be seated. Behaviors that get attention get repeated. Avoid the power struggle because it will get you heated. Listen to Amanda because she knows how to teach it. Yo, this ain't Parents Out to Lunch. No, this is Parenting with the Punch. Oh, this ain't Parents Out to Lunch. No, this is Parenting with the Punch. Yeah.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to Quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to Quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.